another segment of Back to the Movies with Melanie Cutting and Jerry Cutting today also. So welcome, both of you.
Thank you very much. We have only one movie, really, to talk about today. And it's one that I think many people have talked about going to see and will be going to see. And it's called Gladiator 2. And it's a follow-up to the movie Gladiator, which goes back to the year 2000, so it's nearly 25 years old. The movie Gladiator with Russell Crowe and as the gladiator, and Connie Nielsen as his wife. And she, by the way, is back in Gladiator 2. Connie Nielsen, of course, plays the mother of the new gladiator. And the new gladiator is played by a very kind of a, well, I think he's a good actor and a beefy looking guy who looks quite a bit like Russell Crowe did back then. His name is Paul Mescal, and he plays the son. He doesn't know this, of course, not for a while, but he plays the son of the original gladiator, the character that starred in the first one. But the young man is unaware that in fact he has inherited this mantle of being this incredible warrior, this incredible gladiator. But eventually, of course, he does find out. So I will, there's two ways, well, more than two, but a few different ways of looking at the movie. And I think I can give you, yeah, I don't know, maybe a slightly feminine perspective, and Jerry will give you the masculine perspective, because it is very much a masculine film. But that doesn't mean that people who are not guys can't enjoy it. There were some, surprisingly to me, there were some actually quite enjoyable parts and some fairly ridiculous parts too. But there were some things that I did quite like, and I told myself, well, this is not terrible because you're not falling asleep. And I often do fall asleep in movies. So having not falling asleep is a mark of quality for Gladiator 2. Okay, I'll let Jerry talk to you a little bit now about his take on the movie.
Well, I think this movie may not necessarily do as well as Gladiator 1, which gleaned 12 Oscar nominations, including Best Picture, won Best Picture and Best Actor. But there are, I think, some good acting scenes there. But basically, my take on this is that there are some of the scenes that are really just spectacular. You can wonder, how on earth did they make these? And the opening battle scene, I think, sets a certain tone. And the way I would like to look at it is that this movie is following, it's pretty much a theme. It's about power. It's about profit. It's about pleasure. And in terms of looking at how did the Roman Empire fall apart, this is a movie that shows you, I think, really why is that when the intent of those in the leadership roles, and it's very well portrayed here. We end up with a couple of brothers that are almost pretending to be Caesars. And back in those days, to be Caesar, you also were a god. And that if these guys are in charge, you know the empire is in trouble. And this movie, I think, does a really good job of showing how, in fact, around 2008 AD, the Roman Empire was well on its way to the dumpster. It was possessed with the obsession for pleasure and profit. And a lot of the best things about the Roman Empire, and I think there's lots of debate about was it a good thing or a bad thing, this empire, is that to get a glimpse of this historical struggle where someone comes from literally being a farmer in the field to being the number one gladiator in the Roman Empire in the Colosseum itself in Rome, and then goes on and ends up, if you're looking for a romantic finish, you're going to be disappointed. There are some themes there that I think are very, very much along the lines of romance. Losing one's wife in battle, one's mother then is assassinated, and that at the end, there is no ride off into the sunset with one's beloved. But there is a ride off into the sunset where a reckoning takes place. And the reckoning that takes place, I think, is one in which those traditional themes of the good guy, bad guy. I mean, the bad guy is played by Denzel Washington. He does a great job of being a villain.
He's an excellent bad guy. You will love him as a bad guy.
Yes. His lust for power, politics, and control are insatiable. And, you know, at first you might think, well, you know, here he is. He's a black man playing a role, a significant role in the life of the governing of the Roman Empire. Probably historically is very, very much a long shot. But to take that theme and place it in the context of North America, it becomes very real. So here, but the fact that in many instances, I think Denzel Washington is playing a role that he's never had before. He's always been a good guy, sometimes a tough guy, mean guy sometimes, but he's never been rotten to the core, and he is in this movie. And just watching him transform himself from being someone who buys and sells gladiators for profit to someone who ends up being the number two guy after the Caesars, highly unlikely in real life, but a good story. And then in the end, the hero who has brought together the gladiators to free Rome from the tyranny of the buffoonish characters who are supposed to be the Caesars, the demigods. And they have a fight. Of course, it has to be a fight to the death, and it's a very good one at that, too. It is seizing to see your attention at that end. And then two legions that come and you think, oh my gosh, there's going to now be the end of the Roman Empire. The gladiator, the son of Maximus I, Maximus II, does a brilliant job of uniting everyone in a vision of what it would be like to live in a Rome that lives up to the best in everyone. Now, of course, again, this is fantasy because the Roman Empire was built essentially by soldiers and engineers. Mercy was looked down, and you just did not show mercy. You conquered, you took, you got rich. But he's providing something that I think is a great finish to this movie. And is inspirational, you know, even for today. So I can sum it up like this. Gladiator is worth going to see. It keeps you entertained. And one of the main reasons we go to the movies is to be entertained. It does capture that. And if it can take you on a rather interesting trip into what really matters in life anyway. And I think they do a good job of that, of bringing it back to what's fundamentally the best things that we ought to be living for. And we're left with the image between the good guy and the bad guy, that in fact, the good guy can win. And I think we need a whole lot more of this kind of a finish, to, in a certain sense, to inspire us in a world that's filled with people that are behaving very much like Caesar's. And what we want to get a sense of is there another possibility? And this movie says, yes, it can be. But we're going to have to fight for it, by the way. So I think, you know, get yourself a big bucket of popcorn and whatever your favorite drink. And yes, you know, settle in. And there's no fireworks, by the way. But there's some exceedingly interesting gladiator scenes that you know are just made up.
They are made up, but they're actually quite entertaining. There's one of the scenes has the gladiators are besieged by kind of baboons that are totally vicious and huge. So that's a little different. And then there's another scene, again, kind of a memorable scene where one of the bad guys rides in on an immense, I'm sure much larger than normal, rhinoceros. And this too is something that, as Jerry was saying, chances are pretty good this never actually happened, but it makes for good cinema. And the final quite entertaining scene is where the gladiators are led into, again, the Colosseum, which has been flooded deliberately. And now not only does it have like a big bunch of water, but it also has sharks in it. Oh, it's like, okay. So you have to get your suspension of disbelief working and just kind of enjoy that and say, okay, well, this is what life is like in the Roman Empire in the way back, but maybe not. In any event, it's true. There are quite a few historical errors in the film, but I don't think anybody finally is going to complain a whole lot about them just because it makes for such good film. For those of you who kind of like me are not all that fond of spectacle to begin with, a small and high quality movie for me is probably far more entertaining than something in the nature of Gladiator 2 and even Wicked, which was also major spectacle. But there is probably a place for spectacle. And it looks as if there will be an almost endless number of them as time goes on. So probably don't want to say we've given you pretty much everything there is to know, I suppose, about Gladiator 2. We will now one evening sit back in the comfort of the living room and watch Gladiator 1. It's not called Gladiator, but the first Gladiator, the Russell Crowe version. We'll watch that again just to get a little bit more background into the period and the people. And meanwhile, at the theater, as I said, we're only going to talk about the one movie today, but should mention that the movie that is playing now to huge acclaim is called Moana 2. And it's been a while since I saw Moana 1, but it's a cartoon and is an excellent, you know, it's an excellent cartoon. And this is the follow-up to that. It's called Moana 2. I don't know very much about it, so I won't go into it. And I may or may not go and see it. If not, I may find a son or daughter of a friend and send them off to come back and do the movie review. In any event, that's what's playing and getting much fanfare. Moana 2. If you're looking for a movie and you figure I don't really much want to see another Gladiator film, I will go see Moana and enjoy that instead. I think that's it for us for today.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Melanie and Jerry, and have a good day.